Gracious Father, we live in a sin-filled world. Each of us sitting here must look at our own sinful nature. We quarrel, we argue, we do all kinds of things that are against what you have invited us to do. And yet, we know, Lord, that because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. And we have a wonderful relationship because he took those sins upon that cross so that we may have life in his name. Help us to look at our sin-filled relationships that oftentimes affect what we say and we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Congratulations! That's where I want to begin, because now God has sent you that man that he had in mind for you to become your pastor. In a couple of weeks, you'll begin that new journey as congregation and pastor working together in ministry. God has been preparing you for this time and for this ministry. I learned of his acceptance as I was crossing the Atlantic to Iceland, because I happened to be part of a staff text. And I saw the excitement of the staff to learn that he'd accepted your call. The journey that you and I have been on together this past 3 years has been leading you to this time. God is good. Never forget that. Before leaving, I had been preaching a series of sermons on the book of Romans and Paul's wonderful letter to the church at Rome. And as I prepared this service, I decided to preach on the gospel for today. It's kind of fitting that all of this came together. It is a text we often quote, and may I say sometimes misquote, because we like to use it in our own way. Actually, this text from Matthew, along with some of the other things we've been doing, has been at the centerpiece of my time with you. And so today, I decided to use this text before I left. There is something special about the three lessons for today. There are the words from Ezekiel. Here, as Ezekiel has some tough words for the unbeliever. And then there is Paul writing his letter to the church about how our relationship with those who are in authority over us ought to be. And then it is the text from Matthew, the words of our Lord to love one another. Consider first the prophet Ezekiel. What do you know about Ezekiel? Well, we know he was called to be a prophet. But did you know these things about Ezekiel? Ezekiel was already in captivity in Babylon when he received his call by God. God told him that he would be speaking his words to a people notorious for being hard-headed and strong-willed. Sound familiar? He will speak to a people who will rebel and not listen to him. God calls him to speak his words, and then he goes mute in chapter 3, except when God speaks through him, until we get to these words in chapter 33. From chapter 3 to 33, Ezekiel does some rather strange and weird things, like laying on one side for 390 days. Then he rolls over and lays on the other side for 40 more days. Think about that. He shaved his head. He shaved his beard. He cooked his food over cow dung. Now, before you question that one, remember how cow pies have played an important part in the history of Americans over time as they went out west. And then in farming in the Midwest.
Did you know all of that about Ezekiel? Because here's this prophet. How would have you liked to have been Ezekiel? I know I wouldn't. Now there is Paul, this great apostle to the Gentiles, called not in the same way as all the rest of the apostles. He's not one of the 12. And yet he wrote some very beautiful letters to the churches. And those are important letters for us. His letter to the Romans was one of the most important and often quoted when it comes to doctrine and understanding of our relationship to God. Because we want to talk about sin-filled relationships. Because that's what it's all about. Our relationship first and foremost to our God, and then our relationship to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. From his text there, we have these wonderful words. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And I hope that as you move forward in your ministry with your new pastor, that will be a key to love one another. We would all do well to put this particular section somewhere where we can see it often and be reminded that daily in the world in which we live, we need to be talking about how we love one another, because what we see is just the opposite of that. While I was on the ship, we only get three sources of news: BBC, Fox News, and MSNBC. To watch each one of these, it's sometimes easy wondering if we're still watching the same news program. We need a better and more excellent way to live our lives. That brings us to the gospel. Jesus speaking about our relationships one to another. And then you look at those words in the middle of that, because they're tough words. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come. But woe to the one by whom the temptations come. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. And it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the eternal fire. Now, if you and I take that literally, most of you would be sitting here with no hands and feet, and you could not see much. And besides that, the preacher would be preaching with no eyes and no hands and no feet. It's a harsh saying. And that's why we need to think about it, because he follows that with some other beautiful words. Often, then, we turn to the next section, verses 15 to 18. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Oh, I think of these words so often, and in the ministry I've done in reconciliation, how many times I find we would just follow Matthew 18, we'd all live in a better world, and we'd all have better relationships, because first and foremost it's about going to one another to talk about our grievances against one another, not broadcast it and do as we do in this culture in which we live. It is not about revenge or getting even. It's about love. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of the two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Those are some pretty harsh things to say. And yet, this beautiful thing God has given us, Christ, laid out for us a way to deal with one another. Our relationships, because they are sin-filled. The man you have called to be your pastor will, you want him to be pure. But guess what? He's coming to you with all of his impurities. And out of that, you're going to expect purity. Guess what's going to happen? If that's the way you look at it, things aren't going to go well. But if you can recognize that each one of us has sin-filled lives, we can support one another and love one another even in the midst of those things that gets in the way of our relationships. Jesus is talking about our relationships, about how we deal with one another, about being the church. And unfortunately, we see a lot in our world today in which the church does not serve the gospel, because it's so distracted by the things of this world. It's about loving, about caring, about sharing, and being there for one another. As we meet this morning, we have one of our members in ICU, and because of an incident yesterday morning, she hangs between life and death. She's 21 years old. God has a plan. This family needs our prayers. This family needs us to rally around him at this time. That's what it is to be the church. It's about relationships. While the number of people in this congregation went through that Bible study on reconciliation, it was not a great number. But I know that our Lord will lead those who went through that to be leaders in bringing about reconciliation and relationships to one another as God's people in this place. God planted seeds, and it's yours to let them grow. How you operate as a congregation, how you come back to these words of our Lord in Matthew 18 will make a big difference in how you move forward. As Lutherans, we love to talk about the purity of doctrine. But the problem is, this pure doctrine is in the hands of impure people. It's what we all need to be mindful of. That each one of us sitting here comes with all our impurities. That's why we have confession when we begin our worship, to remind ourselves that as sinners we come into the presence of God. There's no better place to be than in his presence. And in Christ, your sins are forgiven. Christ died for you, and in him and him alone, you each have that salvation that he made possible. It's a phrase not only we need to hear, but we need to live, we need to learn it, we need to share it with one another. It needs to be spoken between husband and wife, between parent and children, between family and friends, to our co-workers. And yes, even to those who find themselves in conflict with whatever that conflict is. A troubling phrase I hear in our culture today is, I need to revenge whatever it was. Read your Bible. Christ never says that. Christ says, love one another. Love your enemies. Revenge is not a word that belongs in the vocabulary of a Christian. While Jesus lays out beautifully how we need to relate to one another, we need to recognize that we need that reconciliation that only Christ can bring. A reconciliation that was accomplished through His cross, death, and resurrection on that cross. And that coming forth from a tomb to life. You, the people of God, God is called to be ambassadors. Ambassadors of reconciliation, loving one another with the love that God has for you. It is about your relationships together. It's about overlooking those things that we do to one another and living with one another through God's love for us. Paul put it beautifully in his letter. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandments are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If there's anything I can leave with you as I leave this vacancy, it is that you love one another. That love permeates everything you do. First of all, know that God loves you and share that love with one another. We are right because of that cross. We are right with one another because God first loved all of us. His creation. Yes, we have sin-filled relationships, but as Christians, we have that love that can permeate any of those sin-filled relationships. Live in His love. Amen.